And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials, as I stubbornly refuse to click on the right button. All right, good to be with you today. You know, sometimes I come across information that I think is so good, I just can't cover it one time. I might have to cover it two or three times. But you know, then again, isn't that how we learn? We learn by repetition. You just keep going over the topic until you feel like you have some mastery over it. Well, I gave a talk this last Monday at Breaking Bread. Y'all know where Breaking Bread is? It's a health food store here in Jacksonville. You should go there. All right. I talked about aloe vera. And I'm still, you know, sometimes when I hear something or I read something and it comes across as new information, or I think to myself, hey, Roy, you haven't read that before or you haven't studied that topic. It kind of piques my curiosity, and I want to kind of get into it and find out more about it. And I think it's okay if we ask questions. What is this good for, and what does it do? So just about everybody has seen a plant called aloe vera. It's a member of the cactus family. I think I read that there's like over 300 unique varieties of it. At my office, I have a teeny tiny one called a lace aloe. I've never used it before, but if I get a burn, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to snap a leaf off and I'm going to rub the aloe vera gel or the latex on my burn. But I haven't had a burn yet, so far so good. The one of my thoughts was a long, long time ago. There was supposedly a study, and it was for the very purpose of saying, what do we do about the quality of the air that our astronauts breathe while they're in outer space? Well, lo and behold, if I'm not mistaken, NASA did a very unique study. They took plants and they put them in the International Space Station, and they wanted to find out, what can a plant do to remove toxins from the air, or if you want to say when human beings or astronauts breathe, they give off carbon dioxide and other gaseous waste or toxins. What can we do to remove the toxins from the air? Well, lo and behold, God has designed a plant called the aloe vera. And aloe vera, I think, was the number two plant in efficiency. Its ability to remove carbon dioxide from the air and then in turn give off oxygen for the astronauts to breathe was spectacular. Another plant that was shown to be so, so good, I think there's two more. One was called an ivy. Everybody's seen an ivy. They grow pretty well indoors. You know what? If you put an aloe vera in your home, or an ivy plant in your house, or a peace lily, those are phenomenal for removing toxins from the air. So if you're kind of curious about having some type of a respiratory condition, and maybe you don't even notice it anymore, maybe your home is full of mold or mildew, that stuff is toxic. Black mold is toxic. If I'm not mistaken, out of all the plants, the peace lily has shown to be number one. It has demonstrated such an amazing effect at removing mold from a home. You might want to think about that. Okay, so anyway, I don't want to get distracted, but aloe vera showed to be extremely beneficial, so that kind of piqued my interest. And I looked just briefly. They even have documentary evidence back from 550 BC. That would be before Christ. Egyptian records were showing or demonstrating that aloe vera had a great ability to treat skin infections. Now, I'm not trying to make a claim, but if the Egyptians wrote about it and they made some type of documentary written evidence that it was good for this, then it might be worth a consideration. You know, the first time that I could look up where aloe vera was successfully used in a medical study, it's actually very, very interesting. Back in the year 1935, a group of physicians used aloe vera to successfully treat a patient that they had burned his face to a crisp with x-rays or radiation. I don't know. Was that an accident? Probably so. 1935. Did they know everything there was to know about x-rays and radiation? No. Learning. We're all learning. And so this poor guy whose face was burned, they discovered that the most effective treatment of all time was aloe vera. Now get this right here. And here, let me kind of set the tone for this one. You know that we're living in a world where you're going to encounter toxic bacteria, viruses, parasites, funguses, mold, yeast, all that bad stuff that's just toxic. Well, there's a very simple test that's used. It's called urinary indican. That's spelled I-N-D-I-C-I-N. So, indican. All right? One of the reasons this test is used, you know, you just pee in a cup, and what they do is they measure the amount of urinary indican, and they're trying to find out how much of a toxic load of bad bacteria do you have in your body. And so you get how they're doing it. They're not doing a stool test. No. Mm-mm. They're just measuring the urine. So doesn't that kind of tell you that if you have a toxic overgrowth of microbes in your colon, that could actually leak through the lining of the gut, get into the bloodstream, and then lo and behold, the kidneys, you know, your great blood purifiers, they might have to work a little bit harder at trying to remove the toxins from the blood. I mean, that's really what you want them to do. Don't you want your kidneys working efficiently so they can remove toxins from your bloodstream and from the poison and get rid of it? Well, that's what they do. So, here's a study right here from 1985. Dr. Bland reports on this. All he says is there was a study of 10 humans. There were 5 men and 5 women. I realize that's a very small number. There's a lot of physicians, when they read a study that's very small, they think that's not enough people. We don't trust that. We need 200,000 people in order for it to be valid. Well, come on. Not everybody, like a drug company, has that much money where they can look after 1,000 or a million people and figure out how something works. So what they did was, they just gave these people for 1 week. These were all healthy people. And they gave them aloe vera juice. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here it is right here. After 1 full week of drinking 6 ounces of aloe vera juice 3 times a day. You know, if you're listening, maybe I'm giving you a clue right there. It just took 1 full week of drinking 6 ounces of aloe vera juice 3 times a day. What they did was they measured what's called the urinary indican. And the levels decreased by 1 full unit. That right there suggests that when you drink aloe vera juice, it leads to improved protein digestion, and it gets rid of bacterial putrefaction. Do I really have to explain to you what the word putrefaction means? I think if you're near someone and they release some putrefaction-filled gas, you would make a run for the border trying to get away from that smell. Okay, are you with me on that? Well, see, that's interesting. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to do a follow-up study on people that were really sick all the time or had, like, major gut issues. Folks, we have 10 bacteria for every cell that makes up our body. It's just that bacteria are so much smaller. But isn't that interesting how not only does the aloe vera remove toxins from the International Space Station's breathable air and cleans it up so the astronauts have some good oxygen to breathe, but it cleans up the toxic waste in a person's bowel. Okay. This one is probably not going to be relevant to most people, but I thought it was interesting. There is a component that is naturally found in aloe vera. It's called ace mannan. In parenthesis, it says it's called acylated mannose. Okay. I'm certain that is a very specific, unique sugar molecule or carbohydrate that's found in the aloe vera plant. Well, anyway, I'm just reading this. But they said that it's actually approved for use in treating what are called fibrosarcomas and feline leukemia. Okay, so leukemia would be a blood cancer. That's a liquid cancer that's found in cats. Now, if I had a cat and it had leukemia, I don't think I'd like that very much. Okay? They say that feline leukemia, like AIDS, is caused by a retrovirus. FELV. Anyway, the purpose of me bringing this up is, this is actually a virus that's so lethal, once the cats develop clinical symptoms, they're usually euthanized right away. Typically, over 70% of all cats are going to die within 8 weeks once they start having clinical signs. Now, they did a study of 44 cats where they actually clinically confirmed that they had feline leukemia. And they took Ace Manin, which is from aloe vera. The dose they used, and I'm just reading the study right here, 2 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So most likely it was probably 8 milligrams, something like that. Okay. They did it once a week for 6 weeks, and they just re-examined in 6 weeks. Now, you just heard me say that 70% of all cats, once they develop clinical symptoms, they're dead in 8 weeks. That's a pretty big number. Here's the pearl or the takeaway. At the end of the 12-week study, and you just heard me say that almost all of them are gone by the 8-week mark. At the end of the 12-week study, 71% of the cats were alive and in good health. And I thought, what? Excuse me? I don't know about anybody else, but if I hear the word leukemia, I might start thinking about aloe vera. All right? They go on to say in the study that Ace Manin, which comes from aloe vera, demonstrates significant antiviral activity against several viruses, including the feline AIDS. And they also showed good results against a human immunodeficiency virus type 1. That's HIV. It also said influenza and measles. Have you ever seen a picture of a person with measles? You'll never forget it, ever. Or if you've ever seen a person from a distance with measles, you're going to think, maybe I should not walk over there and give them a hug and a kiss right now. Probably shouldn't do that. Okay. I know this is like I'm getting sidetracked just slightly, but I haven't pursued this idea either, but I want to. And so they showed that one of the interesting side effects of Ace Manin is it increases nitric oxide release. I think one of the studies I looked at not that terribly long ago, I'm going to say like 6 to 9 months, I don't remember exactly, but if somebody increases nitric oxide, they don't get sick with the flu or the cold. And so what that means is you're exposed to somebody that's got the flu, they sneeze on you. Yeah, I know what happens. People that are sick with the flu, they come to church anyway. They shouldn't, but they do. And you can hear them on the row right behind you. They're hacking and coughing. And you're thinking, this is the last thing that I need right now, with everything I have going on, to be sick with the flu in bed for 3 days. Well, nitric oxide, what if you ran out of church? I'm just joking. But, well, actually, I'm not joking about that. Sometimes you have to physically remove your body from the presence of a person that's sick, because they don't have enough common sense and manners to not come to church. Anyway, I think I've told you that story before. My mother's best friend, I won't mention her name, but I'll say it begins with the letter D. And they did everything together. They'd come to Jacksonville, they'd go out to eat, they'd go shopping. Now, my mom's friend, she didn't drive a car. Her husband never allowed her to drive for whatever reason. I don't know all the details. And so she needed somebody to, like, pick her up and carry her to church. And, you know, my mom was always really good about that. And then plus they were good friends. So You know, it's just one of those mutually beneficial things. You know how the Bible says iron sharpens iron? Well, one day they were going to do pictures for the people that were involved in the prison ministry program. And so the prison ministry was stuff like correspondence courses, trying to, you know, help the inmates learn more about Jesus and learn about God, learn how to be saved, learn how to live their lives, you know, separate and apart from the way the world wants us to live. But all of these were just very positive, encouraging. If you read them, if you read the Word of God, you're going to be better off than somebody that's never read the Word of God. So, but they would come together once a week, and they would do they would grade lessons, and they would write, you know, letters, words of encouragement. They'd write them cards, you know, send them things to help them out. And I don't really know all the materials, but I think they sent other things to the inmates also that would be uplifting and encouraging and help them through this just very difficult, stressful time of their life. Anyway, I'm being too long on that story. But there was going to be a once a year, they wanted to get together and they wanted to do a picture or a photograph of all the people that were participating in prison ministry. And lo and behold, there was a couple that was very sick with the flu, but they felt like it was so important that they go ahead and come and sit down for the group picture. Well, the problem was, my mama's best friend, who was like in her 90s, got sick with the flu because the two people didn't have enough sense not to show up for the picture when they're sick. And so I think she only spent like 3 weeks in the hospital in intensive care, IVs and ventilator probably. I really don't know about the ventilator, but she was really sick. She almost died. All because somebody felt it was important. But you know what? I remember that back in the pandemic. I would see sick people hacking and coughing. They look like death chewing on a cracker. But it was still so important for them to get out and go do whatever they want and just spew forth all their toxic phlegm and blow their nose on everything and sneeze everywhere. Anyway, enough of that. Where was I going with that? Never mind. Let me just keep talking about aloe vera. That's really what's most important here. Okay, so here's what I want you to think about also. Aloe vera has been shown to greatly enhance how your skin heals. So let's just kind of make up a story here. You have a wound. You want it to heal. You don't want it to be scarred over. You don't want it to look ugly. Well, guess what? Aloe vera has been shown to stimulate fibroblast and connective tissue formation, thereby promoting wound repair. And here's an example. I'll try to look up a study on it. This one's old right here. Even though this is an old study, it's one of those observational studies because they're taking real people with wounds that won't heal. And let me read this to you. Let me see. Where did I pick up on this? Okay, here it is right here. One study found that aloe vera gel quite successful in treating 3 patients with chronic leg ulcers. One of them had had leg ulcerations for 5 years, another one for 7 years, and the last one 15 years. How would you like to have ulcers and sores on your legs for 15 years? Here's what they did. Aloe vera gel, the gel was applied to ulcers on gauze bandages. I think it goes without saying, most likely that's brand new, fresh, sterile gauze. Actually, gauze is pretty cheap. You might want to have some in your medicine cabinet just in case there's an ulceration on your leg that lasts for 15 years. Might actually be a good idea to go and get some fresh gauze and an aloe vera plant before the 15-year mark. It says the gel was applied to the ulcers on the gauze bandages. Rapid reduction in ulcer size was noted in all 3 subjects, and complete resolution occurred in 2. Okay. It doesn't say which ones in the study. Okay, here's another one right here. In a study of 27 patients that had partial thickness burn wounds, okay, that's where you get a burn to the skin, treatment with aloe vera gel was compared with Vaseline. So they either put aloe vera on the gauze or they put Vaseline. Okay, here's the results right here. The average time of healing, and see, you're a smart person. You're curious. You like to compare things. So here's the result right here. And you decide which one you want. The average time of healing in the aloe vera gel area was statistically significant and dramatically 1 week shorter. So if they used aloe vera on the gauze, it took 11.9 days for the burn to completely heal, compared with 18.2 days for the Vaseline gauze-treated wound. So you got your choice. You can go to the store and you can buy a tub of Vaseline. You can buy some gauze. Or you can just buy gauze and have an aloe vera plant. It says histological evaluation showed early epithelialization. Kind of butcher that word, sorry. In the aloe vera gel-treated group, all they're saying is the body was able to go to that site and mend it and heal it and restore it pretty quickly. Now, I came across this one case study. This one I like very much because what this represents is it represents a human being that is just suffering horribly. Now, this is not going to be a pretty story. I'm so sorry about that, but let me read it to you. Okay, so I've got two cases to read to you. Here's case number one. 72-year-old female who, upon presenting to the emergency room with a sore bottom, that's the reason she came there, and what that means is she went to the ER, her bottom probably hurt really bad. Okay, when she went to the ER and she said, my bottom is really sore, once they took a look at her, they found five problems. Number one, she had anal rectal abscesses. That's called an infection, okay? She also had Fournier's gangrene. Are you with me on that? Gangrene is where the tissue is actually dead. Don't do this. Don't go to Google and type in picture of gangrene. Don't do it. She also had what's called ulcerative enterocolitis. And so what is that? She had ulcers in the lower portion of her colon, secondary to infection and inflammation. Okay, the woman also presented with chronic blood loss and anemia. See, this is all kind of coming together. Sometimes when a person has a continual ongoing infection, that's what completely depletes the immune system and makes them exhausted. I asked a man the other day, I said, I'm just so curious, do you think when that Rottweiler bit your leg that you might have some issue with a chronic infection of the bone because of it? And his response was, no, it just gnawed on me for a while. I thought, okay. All right, but the thing of it is, if you have a chronic low-grade infection or you have a wound that won't heal, folks, that is just sucking your resources right out of you. It is the biggest burden of all time. That's why we want to resolve a wound that won't heal or resolve something that's not healing. If you got an infection, we want to get rid of it. It's just using all your resources. Now, this 72-year-old lady that went to the ER with sore bottom, they also found out she had protein caloric malnutrition. That's just a fancy term for she is not getting enough protein. I know I sound like a broken record when I talk about these things, but as a human being ages, and that's a real thing, I'm not trying to be negative, you are going to find it's much more challenging to get enough protein compared to when you were 16. You know, the efficiency at which a 16-year-old can absorb and assimilate and use protein is just like amazing. But when you're 72, man, you can't do it. You lose a lot of that efficiency at being able to take protein and put it to good use. So what's the solution? You've got to make a concerted effort to get more protein as you age. Now, I don't want anybody listening to me to end up like this 72-year-old woman. So here's what they did right here. Okay. So what they did was they had to clean up all the debris. You know, she had gangrene. She had abscesses. So they cleaned it up, and what they did was they applied a water-based aloe vera gel. Obviously, it's water-based. And saline-soaked gauze twice a day. After 45 days, the wound exhibited a pink base with granulation tissue, contraction of the wound edges. That means it's completely closed up and drawn back together. That's 45 days. I don't know. This doesn't tell me as much as I want to know. I'm just curious, how long did she suffer? But I'm guessing a long time, as in years. Here's case number two. And again, the topic this morning is aloe vera. If you don't have an aloe vera plant, maybe you should go to the store and buy one today. Some of these grocery stores, they sell them right out front, and some of them are just beautiful specimens. Of course, here in East Texas, we have so many places, nurseries, where you can stop and get one. Here it is, a 48-year-old male with a seroma of the left leg secondary to a crush injury. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe a forklift ran into him and crushed his left leg. You're probably asking, what's a seroma? Well, it's this big honking lump or a mass that's just filled up of a buildup of fluid. Sometimes it's clear fluid, but it's just like a blunt force trauma. Maybe you could say it's a huge big honking filled blister under the tissue, but it looks like a big lump. So within 3 days of developing this crush injury, he developed a deep venous thrombosis. That's just a fancy term for he's got a blood clot in his leg. Folks, blood clots, that ain't good. And so what they did was they tried packing the seroma. There were two big honking cavities from these fluid-filled wounds. And what they did was they just packed them with aloe vera gel and saline soaked on sponges. They were able to put these sponges that they dipped in aloe vera. How about that? Pretty radical. After 5 weeks, healing was complete for the anterior wound and 95% for the posterior wound. That ain't bad. You know, you need to remember this. When you have a severe injury, you've really got one shot to make sure it heals properly. If you fell and you broke a bone, well, we want to make sure that it heals properly, don't we? You don't want them have to go back and re-break it and reset it and then do a surgical procedure to put a pin in there. We don't want to introduce foreign material to the body if we can keep from it, right? Okay, here's another study right here. Now, this is all about an autoimmune disease called psoriasis. You may not know what psoriasis is. You could look it up, but I bet you anything you've seen it. So you're sitting behind somebody, they put their arm on the pew or the chair, and you notice that on their elbow, they've got these layers of crusty, red, inflamed skin that's building up. Okay, that's psoriasis. To me, it looks like it's very irritating. Okay, so here's a study where they took 60 patients. There were 36 men with psoriasis. There were 24 women with psoriasis. They were between the ages of 18 and 50 years of age, and it says they had moderate chronic plaque-type psoriasis. And they give the scores, but that's not going to mean anything to you. They said, how long did you have this, and the mean or the average time frame that they had the psoriasis before they treated them was like 8.5 years. So if it's been around for 8.5 years, it's pretty much taken hold of you. So this is all they did right here. They had the patients take care of themselves. They didn't do it in the hospital. Patients self-administered a trial medication topically at home 3 times a week for 5 consecutive days. They did this. They had to do it. They had to agree to do this for 5 times a week, and they did it for 4 weeks. Guess what they used? Aloe vera. Here's the cutting to the chase right here. By the end of the study, the aloe vera extract had cured 25 out of 30 patients. That's called an 83.3% cure rate. I guarantee you, if they had a drug that was on the market called Cura Psoriasis. I'm trying to make up a word here. So if they had a drug called Psoriacure, and it had an 83.3% cure rate in 16 weeks, dude, it would be the top-selling drug of all time. And it would not be cheap either. Anytime they find a drug that's successful, you can bet the starting point's going to be $500 a month and up. Anyway, sorry, I'm not trying to bash that. I'm just saying there's a huge difference between the price of aloe vera and the price of a drug. And there's surely a huge difference between the toxicity of the drug and the toxicity of aloe vera. Okay, so you're saying, well, what did they find out with the placebo? Well, the placebo had a pretty good cure rate, all right? So the ones that used aloe vera, the cure rate, and when I say cure, it's gone. It's a done deal. No more psoriasis. That's what cure means. So the cure rate for aloe vera was 83%. Now you're thinking, well, what did the placebo do? Well, it was pretty impressive. 6.6%. Actually, that's a failure, isn't it? Placebo didn't do anything. The psoriasis cleared 83%. Anyway, if you would like to join me on the phone this morning, if you have a question or if you have a comment, this program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. Glad to answer any questions that you may have to the best of my ability. And I'll be quite frank with you. I do not know all the answers, but that's part of the gift of the learning process. Is if somebody asks me a question I don't know, I can do some research on it. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Sir, good morning. Dr. Morgan, how you doing?
Good. Thank you very much for your phone call. How are you today?
Yes, sir. I am truly blessed. Yes, sir. Hey, quick question for you. I have some pain in my left knee, and I went to the emergency room. They did a X-ray and CAT scan. No fractures, but there's just severe pain in the left side of my knee. I can't even bend my knee. And so do you have any recommendations? Of course, I got to go pick up some medicine today that they prescribe. But
well, what's the medicine?
I just want to get it's more so, I think, for like pain relief, to relieve the pain.
I can't even remember the last time somebody told me they went to the ER, and in addition to an X-ray, they got a CAT scan. What did they tell you they wanted the CAT scan for?
Oh, just to be sure that there was no fracture.
Well, I know you know the question I'm going to ask you, but what happened to cause this pain?
Okay, I think perhaps some exercise. Maybe I was on a stationary bike, and I'd had some pain before, but it for some reason after Thursday, woke up Friday morning and couldn't bend my left knee. The medication, by the way, is...
You mean you went to bed feeling fine?
Yes. Well, there was some pain. There was some pain.
But it was nothing like it was when you woke up with it, right?
That's right.
Okay. I'm with you.
Oh, yes, sir. The medication, by the way, is ibuprofen. Let's see. And then there's Tramadol. Those are some things that were prescribed to me.
They didn't give you fentanyl? I'm sorry. That was a very bad joke on my part. I wish I hadn't done it.
No, sir.
Anyway, sometimes I think they overreact. So, but you haven't taken the ibuprofen or the Tramadol yet, have you?
No, sir. Not yet.
Okay, well, tell me your gut instinct on this deal. What do you think it was? Do you think that somehow or another you may have injured it on the exercise bike?
Or I think if I didn't injure it, I certainly aggravated it.
I mean, do you remember mowing the yard and you accidentally stepped into a gopher hole and twisted your knee because your foot went down 10 inches in the hole?
Well, I do remember jumping off this little, box thing, and I think I landed awkwardly. But that was a while back, and so I think I'm maybe paying the price for that.
Well, how far back?
Decision I made. Oh, that was about a couple of months ago.
Okay. Well, I don't know that that really helps me as much as I wanted. Is there any chance that you've got an infection anywhere in the body, like in a tooth or the sinuses? Are you prone to diverticulitis?
Well, I'm not really sure, but I am a diabetic, and
oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But anyhow, I know you're real good at sharing insightful information, and I just thought I'd give you a call.
Well, what I can do is I can tell you like super duper easy things without. I wish I could like look you in the eye and say, I guarantee you this will work. So what do you do if you don't know what caused it, but it's swollen, if you can't bend it? Obviously, it's in your best interest to be able to get on your exercise bicycle and pedal without pain. Now, if you don't know of anything that happened, I mean, you weren't moving a piano from the third floor of an apartment and they dropped the ropes and the piano fell on your leg. Well, did your wife back over your knee in the driveway with her pickup truck? That's a joke.
No,
sorry.
Sir, no, sir. No. But I did help my daughter move a couple of weeks ago. And I do remember I kind of slipped off the U-Haul and slightly banged my knee. And I think that may have been a contributing factor as well.
Okay, this is what I would do if it were me. And I'm just going to, I don't know that I'm going to go in order. I don't think it really matters. I would probably take, do you know what Epsom salt is?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you just take like a handful of Epsom salt and you just, well, this is the way I would do it. If you could gently warm up the Epsom salt, you could just take like a pan or something and just where it's warm. And you just like take a clump of that stuff and lay it right on top of your knee where it hurts the most and just take some saran wrap and wrap around the salt.
Okay.
So you just try to arbitrarily choose the part of the knee that hurts the worst. I don't know. Is it on the inside of the knee, the outside, the kneecap?
Inside.
What?
Inside kneecap. Yes, sir.
Okay, inside kneecap. Well, that's where ground zero is going to be. And just leave it on there for about 30 minutes and take it off and just wash it off. And then I think if it was me, what I would do is every night before I go to bed, I would just slather castor oil all over it. And if you just wrap it with like an Ace bandage, maybe that can keep the oil from getting all over the sheets. Your wife would not like it if your sheets were covered with oil. She'd say, okay, you're sleeping on the floor. You ruined the sheets. You know I'm only joking about that stuff. Okay, so.
No problem.
But what I would do also, if it were me, I might look into what's called arnica gel. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. There's a bush that grows on the side of a mountain called arnica montana. But they sell these homeopathic gels. And one of the products is called Arnicare. It's like a clear... It actually looks kind of greasy, but you just rub it onto your knee. And you could do that as much as you want. It's just a homeopathic remedy. But sometimes it works super, super well. Now, I've seen cases where somebody just takes a washcloth and rubs fresh apple cider vinegar on a swollen knee. Or they'll, you know, tie a washcloth soaked in apple cider vinegar to it to see if that helps it to grow away.
Okay.
I don't think if it were me, if it hurts this bad, that I would probably use heat right now like a heat pad. But if I had my way, I'd probably have you take your entire... I know this is not going to sound fun. You're probably going to reject this when everybody else does. But I'm going to find out if you're a real man or not. So if you... I'm just teasing. So if you took a 5-gallon bucket, just fill it with water and put ice in it. You're trying to make... And just take your entire leg... And put in there, and I realize it's not going to be right there where the knee hurts because, you know, your leg's probably too long for it to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're 3 foot tall, in that case, you could stand in the bucket and it would cover the knee, but you're not 3 foot tall, are you?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. You sound like you're a little bit older than 2.5 years old, but anyway. So if you put your entire leg that's killing you in a bucket of ice water, you could just go sit out in the sunshine this morning. You could take your Bible with you. You could read your Bible. You could sit out in the sun, and your wife could just pour some ice cubes. You could say, thank you, sweetheart. You're so special. And you could leave it there for 10 minutes. Now, what's going to happen is your lower leg is going to say, oh, no, we're freezing to death. But that's one of the ways that your body will increase immune activity and blood flow. But that's a way of trying to help your immune system resolve it. But just leave it there for 10 minutes. It's pretty brutal.
Okay. Yes, sir. Well... Thank you very much, Dr.
Yeah.
Morgan.
Yeah, I hope that helps. Let me know how your knee gets well. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much. God bless. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for that, and God bless you too. Boy, what would happen to America if we actually, all of us, exalted the name of the living God in the name of Jesus, and we asked for his blessings and favor? Of course, we might want to actually confess our sins and repent first as a nation. All right, if you want to join me on the air this morning, I don't think I've given out the phone number. It's 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good. I have a question about foot pain. Can you talk about that?
I'll do my best. Describe it to me.
Well, it's in the mostly in my toes, and it feels like I kicked something too hard and hurt my toes, but I've had it for several months. It's somewhat intermittent. My wife and I take walks every day, and part of the time, most of the time, I can walk just fine. But then this pain will set in sort of on the bottom of my toe joints, so to speak. And there's also the top of my foot has a kind of a burning pain that will develop. And like I say, it might last for a couple of blocks, and then I won't notice the pain, but it's becoming more.
What color are your toenails? Or do your toenails look really good to you?
They look pretty good for my foot. Yes.
Okay.
The toenails look pretty decent.
So there's no yellowing of the toenails, right?
Not that I can detect.
No, you'd be able to see it. I mean, unless you're colorblind.
Okay.
Are you colorblind?
No.
Then you should be able to tell what color they are. Do you have any toenail fungus?
Not that I can see.
Oh, then you don't. Then it'd be pretty obvious. The nails would become a lot thicker. They'd become discolored.
Okay.
They'd look like that is not the way I remember my toenail looking when I was 18. Right. Okay, so
this is in my right foot. Mostly my feet look the same. I don't see any.
Oh, good.
In my feet.
No, that's excellent. You have any other medical conditions that you haven't told me about? Like the gentleman that just called a while ago. Do you have diabetes?
No. And I'm a 70 something year old guy, and I'm in fairly good health.
Do you feel really really happy when you wake up first thing in the morning, or are you a little bit grumpy?
I'm looking at my wife. She says I'm fairly happy when I wake up.
Then we're going to go with that. Do you feel like you sleep well at night?
Yes, pretty well.
Okay, do you have any broken blood vessels or veins on your ankle or your foot where they kind of, sometimes they're called spider veins or broken veins?
Yes, I have spider veins. All over my ankles, kind of like if I had a low sock on, it would be that area.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a great description. Is there any chance that you have a varicose vein?
No, there's no pain with the veins. They're just very, very small. I'd say spider veins, but they cover my ankles pretty much.
Do your feet get really cold at night when you sleep?
No, not particularly.
Okay, so when you get out of bed first thing of a morning and you have nothing on your feet, there's no shoes, no socks, if you put your bare feet on the ground and walk around, does that hurt at all? Do your toes hurt when you wake up?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes, but again, it's not a persistent pain. It's just occasional, but it will just set in on a walk and then...
Well, and that's just it right there. You don't wake up with it, but the more and the longer you walk, the more it hurts, right? Or is that not true?
No, it's not necessarily.
Well, does walking make them feel a lot better? Does walking make the pain go away? I'll say it that way.
I think it might, and yes. And I can't see a pattern yet. I'm suspecting that neuropathy.
Well, and do you know what device I wish they had? I don't have it. I think they have them at research facilities like podiatry schools. But you and I could go like to Walmart and we could buy. Actually, have you ever heard of a grip dynamometer? Do you know what that is? It's
no.
Just a, for example, if you went to, there's a website called Amazon.com. If you typed on that and clicked on it, you could, how to test grip strength. But I'm kind of making an analogy here. I know that your foot is not your hand, but if we had a grip tester, I could say, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to squeeze with your hand as hard as you can. And so in your case, I think they cost like about $30. It's electronic. And they're really accurate. They just didn't have this technology back in 1985 when I got started doing this. But if I had you squeeze that as hard as possible, what I would be very curious about is how strong your grip is. Because usually if the grip is really, really strong, it's easier to find that the foot has great grip strength also in a different way. But a lot of times when you start losing the strength of the foot muscles, and there's a lot of them, there is layer upon layer of very intricate, precise muscles in the feet and the toes. But if you're developing spider veins, circulation's got to be part of it. And even the, you mentioned neuropathy, even the nerves themselves, they have a rich vascular blood supply. But what you're describing, I would guess there's going to be reduced blood flow on that side. And you realize this is radio. I mean, I can only do so much. It's not like I can actually examine every artery in your body. But that's what I would recommend to you now, or suggest to you. Number one, there's a type of a shoe that's sold today. It's called a zero-drop shoe.
Yes. Okay.
Some people can't stand them. They don't look stylish enough. They're not cute enough for a woman to wear. I don't care about that stuff. All I care about is the well-being and the health of your foot. But study after study has shown, it's very interesting, if you wear a zero-drop shoe, then all of a sudden your foot muscles, they start to become better conditioned. You have better blood flow, better circulation. Your feet become significantly stronger. Now, you got to wear them a while. It probably takes about, you know, 2 weeks or so to kind of adapt to them or get used to them. But then the next thing I'm going to say is, walking barefooted, man, I'm going to really hammer away on this point right here. I've already decided in my heart that I'm not going to let this one go. I'm going to hit it hard. When you were like a little boy, you probably walked every single place you went without shoes on. Your mom couldn't even keep you in shoes. You were outside all the time.
That's what I did.
And when you climbed a tree, you did it barefoot because your feet were like little hands. They could grip the bark, and you could squeeze with your toes. Anyway, when people walk barefoot very, very frequently, what it does is it thickens and toughens up all those muscles in the feet, especially if you walk on dirt or grass. And so I don't have the study in front of me. I can look it up. I got it from, what is her name? I've already forgotten it. I don't think it's Dr. Judith Von Hamm, because sometimes she's right and sometimes she's not. But anyway, but in this one book that I read, it demonstrated that when people walk frequently barefoot all around the house and in the yard, that they literally have twice as many nerves in their feet compared to people that wear shoes all the time. Now, what you need is you need to grow some new arteries and some new veins, some new lymphatic vessels, but most of all, you need to grow new nerves. And if you start growing brand new muscles in your feet and you build up the muscles of your feet, guess what you're doing? You're growing brand new arteries, brand new nerves, brand new veins. Okay? So if you start walking at least an hour a day on the grass or the ground, you can do all your yard work barefooted. I mean, except for grass burrs. I mean, I don't know any human being that would like to walk through a cactus patch barefooted, do you?
No.
Now, do you have a place where you could actually walk barefooted?
Yes. I've actually started walking barefooted.
Oh, that's good.
We have a football field, and my wife and I have been trying to walk barefooted there a little bit, and I walk barefoot in the house now.
Now, is she the quarterback and you're the wide receiver? Does she say go out for an out?
I do what she says, yes.
Man, how fast can you run the 40? About 4.4?
No.
Well, so here's the other thing I can't do. I can't really determine how strong your hips are and your knees and your thighs, but can you squat all the way down to the ground on the football field with your bare feet and then press back up again in a controlled fashion?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, so here's what you got to do. If you start growing some new muscle on your body, that's your way through this. So walking barefooted, you can even go to YouTube after you get off the phone with me and you can type in, what are the best foot exercises for neuropathy? I'm kind of making that up because I don't really have my laptop computer here. But you can watch video after video that shows you how to get your feet strong. But the goal is, we want to get you back in good repair where your toes don't hurt anymore. Now, the reason I ask you the other questions is it's very common for burning to take place in the feet when you have a B vitamin deficiency.
Okay.
And so there's times that a person could have a vitamin B12 deficiency. So if you went to the doctor and they did a test called a complete blood count, you work your way down about 6 or 7 spaces on the test, and there's an abbreviation. It's MCV. That's an abbreviation for mean corpuscular volume. When that number starts hitting like 94.5, 95, that's a B vitamin deficiency. Or at least it kind of points toward that. It's a clue. Does that make sense? So if you've had a visit to your medical doctor and he's done like a complete blood count, and you see that your mean corpuscular volume is like getting up around 97, 98, 99, well, that's a clue right there that you're not meeting the needs and the requirements of B vitamins. And so I think I'm just going to choose to talk about one of them. It's just one of them. It's called vitamin B12. B12 has so much to do with how you rejuvenate and repair nerves that are inflamed or damaged. And so on some level, you've got chronic inflammation within your toes. I just don't know if it's exactly in the arteries. I'm going to say yes to that because of the broken spider veins around your ankle. If you think neuropathy with the burning, I'm going to say yes, I agree with that also, because these are all the ways that your body starts complaining to you, saying, please pay attention to us, help us to get well. So the way that you fix this is by rapidly increasing blood flow and circulation. Just like I told the guy before, you could easily, once a day, take a 5-gallon bucket of water and put some ice in it and put your entire right foot into it and just kind of pump it up and down while you're submersing it in frigid, freezing cold ice. Water for about 10 minutes. Pretend your foot's on a Singer sewing machine, a treadle sewing machine, and you're pumping it up and down to work the treadle, which was always great fun for me growing up. So you could do that, but you're trying to turn the tide, and you're trying to grow brand new muscles. You're trying to increase your body mass. How do you know what your weight is?
About 145.
Okay, that's a pretty good clue also. Would you say that you're a little bit lighter than what you should be?
A little bit.
So there's only two ways to fix that, is eat more protein and then exercise. But those foot exercises, I can rarely talk a person into doing them because they hurt. If you took the grip dynamometer, like I was talking about off Amazon, and you squeezed that, if you cannot hit 60 pounds or 57 pounds, and there's probably not going to be much chance that you're ever going to heal. Because they've done studies, and they've showed that if a man is not strong enough, he's not getting out of it. So what's the solution? Start exercising your hands and your grip and the grip of your foot. You can actually, grab your toes and you can squeeze. It's either that or your wife is going to tell you, let's get in the car, we're going to the beach at Destin, and I'm going to make you walk in the squishy white sand until your feet are strong again. That would work, wouldn't it?
Yes. I do have arthritis in my fingers, just osteoarthritis. My joints are swollen, and I have limited movement of my fingers. So I do have that problem.
See, that's one of the reasons why I tell just about everybody that'll listen to me, instead of taking a multiple vitamin, I would much rather spend my energy on taking glucosamine sulfate every day.
Okay. Okay.
The other one that I would take if it were me is fish oil. Specifically, yeah. I like cod liver oil. Because cod liver oil can have a whole host of other nutrients. And so if you just did those two things right there, you're trying to reverse this trend of developing more arthritis. And I kind of know what you're saying about the arthritis, but that doesn't change the metrics. If you cannot squeeze hard and hit at least 57 pounds, there's not much chance that you're going to heal. And I don't mean that to be mean. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just telling you, this is your only way out of it. You got to get stronger, more supple and flexible. We got to break up that calcification in your fingers. So there's a lot more to this, but at least I've given you some ideas of what to do and how to do it.
Sounds great. We do take fish oil.
Good. How much do you take?
About 2 teaspoons a day.
That is not anywhere close to enough.
Okay.
You're probably going to need like about 3 times that amount to get some results.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly what date I read the article about men and women, their muscles greatly improving, but I want to say it was about 6,000 milligrams to 7,000 milligrams a day. So it's good that you're taking it. You just might need a little bit more to get the job done. And then eat more protein. Are you in a situation where you can actually exercise twice a day?
Yes, we could.
Well, why don't you go to YouTube and type in, what are the best exercises for neuropathy, and we'll kind of find out what you come up with. Okay. But your solution is getting stronger. So your legs represent the largest muscles in the body. Man, you've got squats, you've got lunges, you've got a exercise called a Turkish get-up. That's one of the best ones right there. You can start holding a deep squat with your feet flat for 5 minutes a day. You can start doing foot exercises. You can do toe exercises. You know how a Japanese woman would walk up and down your back with her bare feet? You could do that to your wife. That's a joke. Don't do that. I don't want somebody to get a broken rib. But you got all these things that you can do. Walking in the sand and the dirt, going everywhere barefoot as much as you can. Maybe you can make Saturdays barefoot days.
Barefoot days.
Yeah.
Dr. Morgan, what about protein powder? Is that...
No, not for me. I want real food. I want eggs, turkey, chicken, fish, lots of fish. Fish is the best one.
Okay.
Do you like cod?
Yes.
I do, too. Do you like tuna?
Oh, yes. Like tuna. Love tuna.
Is your wife cooking salmon for breakfast for you as we speak?
No, maybe for dinner, but...
Oh, that sounds good. What a great woman she is. Well, no, try those things right there, but you have to eat a little bit more protein to stimulate protein synthesis. So if you exercise, and you know, the bottom line is, you've got to do hard things to get your body to change for the better. But you're the one that wins. Every benefit goes straight to you and your wife.
Okay.
You'll be able to carry her on your back as you walk across the burning hot sands of the beach at Destin, so she won't have to burn her feet.
She's giving me a thumbs up.
You know what I wish? I wish on the radio I could see the facial expression of people, because it would be like a great source of entertainment for me.
She's shaking her head now.
Hey. You should be in the Monday Night Football booth giving us a play-by-play. Hey, thanks for your phone call today. I really appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week right at 7 a.m.